Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 9th on the West Coast, now March the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network this evening, and hope you enjoy tonight's show. Before we bring on tonight's guest, I just want to comment that I haven't really seen anything newsworthy to talk about. It's amazing the number of YouTube videos that are coming out with information allegedly from NASA, and it wouldn't surprise me, only you need to put the letters DIS in front of information, talking about viruses that are piggybacking or hitchhiking on top of meteorites. I mentioned that last night. We see spaceships flying all over the planet, and they're telling us that there might be bacteria out there in space. It's amazing. But we should expect that anyway, because they haven't been telling us the truth for many, many years. And it's almost making me and many people I know wish that they were just out someplace on an island.
Oh, some people say love is fantasy. If you
Well, if we take Will Downing's advice, we may find ourselves on an island. Sometimes it feels that way. Last time I played this song, I dedicated it to a U.S. congressman from the state of Georgia, Mr. Hank Johnson, who was preoccupied with the fear that Guam was going to tip over and capsize, to quote his phrase, because they were going to send some U.S. Marines and their dependents, the story went, to Guam as a staging area. I suppose that that happened, but haven't heard any news about Guam tipping over nor capsizing. Maybe tonight's guest has some information in that regard. He is a regular on Evident Footprints, has been for a number of years. And actually, I'm dizzy going back and restoring many of the archives that were lost when Apple made the switch to Mobile Me and didn't notify anyone. And many people suffered some damage to their websites and their archives on iTunes. So I've been busy with that, but in the process of restoring the archives, I've noticed how many shows I've done with tonight's guest, and he's very popular for a number of reasons. He's an environmental scientist, a chemist, an herbalist, and a musician, my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Did you get a little chuckle when you heard me recount that story about yes. About Guam?
Yes, yes, I did, Don, of course. Just another typical example of the level of intelligence we have there operating in our government, representing the American people. Boy, that just gives you a lot of confidence, doesn't it?
It does.
I wonder if he's got a high school diploma.
I don't think it really matters, does it? Because you've got a president that doesn't have one.
Yes, it's par for course, actually, Don.
In fact, he doesn't have much of anything, at least that we can...
He's got plenty of hot air.
Well,
if we could only bottle it all, we'd probably, we could probably use it for energy sources.
I should have been a little more specific and said documentation. Anyway, kind of short on the family photographs, too, I would say.
So. Absolutely. Major question mark on that clown.
Yeah. Michael, there's been a lot of aberrant weather. And I'm just going to throw this topic out there. Number one, Christchurch, New Zealand has suffered a death and destruction due to an earthquake. And we've had a lot of cold weather in places where it normally doesn't get cold. A lot of snow in places where it hasn't snowed before. A lot of stormy weather. In fact, it's changing back and forth from cold, blizzard conditions, lots of snow, then getting hot, melting, and then rain, and then the cycle repeating itself. And it's becoming evident that more than one country is using HAARP. I think it's we're actually giving too much credit to our government. They're not using it as much as maybe the Soviets or the Russians are using theirs on us. Now, that's not definite. I couldn't tell you what the percentages are, but we do know that the Russians have a similar system. I doubt they call it HAARP, but we're seeing many, many things happening all over the planet right now. What is your sense of what is going on?
Well, Don, my position's still pretty confident that a lot of what we're seeing is Mother Nature. I don't think that much of it is really man-made with the extreme weather conditions. If anything, you know, down if, you know, they were pushing global warming. We had algae out there for quite a while selling us that BS line. Now, with HAARP at their disposal.
Now, wait a second. You said algae. You don't mean the green plant that grows in water.
Oh, yes. Well, algae as in Al Gore.
Okay.
Just call him algae for short. He is definitely a slime ball, and the name is so perfect. But, you know, while he was pitching and selling that for the United Nations, going around the world and made that stupid little movie, and with HAARP at their control, you think they would keep things warming up, like that big meeting they had where they went to sell it in Norway about a year ago from last December, and it ended up being such a frigid day with a lot of snow, extreme snow. It was so hilarious because they were there selling the global warming scenario while those weather conditions were hitting them hard. And so that really hurt them bad, actually, just that one event alone with all that snow and freezing temperatures there while they were selling global warming. I think that really made him a laughingstock, and rightfully so.
Well, I remember when he got his Pulitzer Prize. Was it a Pulitzer or a Nobel Prize? I can't even remember it. You know, what's the difference?
Algie got one?
Oh, no. He got some, yeah, he got some big award.
Oh, that was the BS Oscar Award for the best BS artist, I think, of the year. Wasn't that the award?
Well, anyway, he got some award, but it was like right on the heels of that the mainstream media's meteorologists were reporting that pretty much everywhere around the country had set records for low temperatures. Of all time.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
You know.
Right, Dan, exactly. So you see now my point regarding HAARP. So you think these guys would have made sure that things were really hot, at least on that particular day, you know, for it was December, if I remember right, in Norway. And, you know, you think they would have turned up the heat a bit to sell that pitch. And so, you know, that tells me that I just don't know how much they're really influencing Mother Nature in that way, Don. But extreme weather, absolutely. And I've been calling that from the beginning, from all my observations, just being a nature boy, a real nature boy, Don. And I can plug in, you know, very accurate with the weather. And so, you know, and with the earthquakes and volcanic activity in addition, okay, we can say earthquakes. That could be man-made as well. We know Tesla technology exists, and but the volcanoes, you know, that one, I just don't see them. I just don't see them triggering the volcanoes. So, and then also bear in mind that all the planets in our solar system are exhibiting similar extreme weather patterns, along with a lot of volcanic activity and most likely seismic earthquake activity as well. And so something in nature itself is coming about here. And every time we touched upon this, I would just refer to stage of growth on the planet where she seems to be changing, going through a transformation, and we're transitioning into something new. And in the past, I mentioned that one of the main messages from Mary appearing through the 1900s was that, especially at the Fatima incident to the three kids, that the Earth was going to go through a transition at the end of the century. Now, this was mentioned, this appearance, this event was early 1900s, so the end of the century she referred to would be the end of the 1900s, which pretty much is right where we are now, of course, and that the Earth would go through a transition, and if mankind was living in harmony with the earth, with God, then the transition would be smooth and easy. And if mankind continued living the way he was, pretty much, then the transition would be very difficult, hard, rough, turbulent. Even nations could be annihilated. And so God willing, and that won't happen, and it won't be that extreme. but we can see clearly that the behavior of mankind on the planet is far from falling short, way short from where it should be, especially with the United States, particularly, I would say, with our military, in all these incursions into foreign countries. And we know that's not our role as a country. And we should be home cleaning up our own backyard, getting rid of this foreigner posing as a president and all the traitors in Washington, D.C., sending our troops all around the world, conveniently all abroad, while nobody's home minding the store, which also sets us up for a lot of trouble here when the domestic enemy and these foreign agents try to pull some more nasty stuff here at home. And then you got the communist countries, especially China, all that slave labor, the poisoning of the atmosphere, the earth, the water, the oceans. I mean, everybody sees it. The Gulf incident still going on. And so, unfortunately, because of this activity, the transition will be, as forewarned, turbulent. And so the extreme weather, I think, is something we're going to continue to see for a while. And along with that, now, I've been on to this wind, this unusual wind that has been coming around more and more frequently and ramping up in its intensity. And I've been noticing for at least 20 years now. And it's not a common natural wind. It's an unusual wind. It's a wind of big change. You can feel it when it's around. And it's around often now. And I'm sure everybody's starting to catch on to this wind that seems to be perpetual. And that's a big indicator of something to come, some kind of big change. And it's most likely going to be a pole shift type of event, like many people have been speculating on. And I think that's legitimate. And it may not be that far away. And hopefully this one, when it occurs, will be an unusual one, because, you know, pole shifts are very traumatic on the mind itself, because the mind is like a computer. It has memory, and it's processing data all the time. And there's electromagnetic field, like all computers have around the brain. And when a pole shifts, the whole electromagnetic field of the earth is going to be disrupted. And in the past, it must have had some kind of strange effects on the minds of the people. And, of course, major destruction as well.
TV takes care of that now.
What's that?
TV, television takes care of that.
Yes. Yes, well.
You don't need a pole shift for that to happen.
Yeah. And that's true. It's blanks. It's TV. The boob tube does seem to have a blanking effect on the mind. But along with a pole shift, there could be major geologic upheavals too. So God willing, it's not going to be that way. And it's been predicted by those pursuing mainly spiritual pursuits of knowledge. This pole shift is supposed to be special, unique, as the earth does transition into a more perfect place in God's creation. And therefore, there's going to be divine assistance for the earth through this transition. And
there's no doubt we won't be reverting
to caveman again.
Yeah. There's no doubt that the earth is a living organism, and it was created under the laws of the creation. And so its ability to exist through time has everything to do with its ability to tune into the energies of the creation and to abide by those laws. I mean, we can consider ourselves intelligent beings, but we cannot do what the earth can do. And we hold ourselves in very high esteem, egotistically, while we destroy the planet. So I agree with you that many of the weather phenomenon or earthquakes and what one would call natural disasters do occur occasionally, but they don't necessarily occur with the rapidity or the repetition that goes on. You know, it's one thing to observe a cycle and suddenly to be cast into a completely different reality where the cycle is moving much more rapidly. For instance, you mentioned the volcanoes. We do know that they have technology and have had it for a long time to cause a volcano to erupt. And they can do that with nuclear devices or scalar weapons. There are lots of different ways they can do it. I'm not saying that every time there's a volcano that some black operation is behind it, but we sense occasionally that something's out of place, that these things happen where they happened is too coincidental, or what's going on in conjunction with that in other parts of the world. In other words, is there stress in the international financial community? Have threats been made towards one government by another? And maybe with good reason, you know, because of the corruption that's going on. And so when we, and I say we, meaning when the United States is using HAARP to cause weather anomalies in another country, they have every right to defend themselves. That's natural. So this is a process that's going on whether we pay attention to it or not. But,
well, I agree with that, Don, wholeheartedly.
You know, the Earth will fight that as well, you see.
Oh, well, the Earth will always seek to restore itself to a balance,
mm-hmm.
a homeostasis. And so, sure, the more man tries to take her out of that balance, then the more the Earth will respond in a mm-hmm. more dramatic reaction.
Well, everything on the planet
regain
is
out
a balance.
Of balance.
If you pick one.
Only under man's influence are things out of balance. I mean, the Earth itself never goes really out of balance all in all.
Yeah. If you want to talk about pollution or you want to talk about the Frankensteinian viruses that are being created and unleashed upon nature, look at what chemicals and electromagnetic radiation are doing maybe to bees and to birds and to fish. You know, when you look at all those things, we are doing things to throw the balance out continuously. I agree the Earth is always seeking balance. And, you know, there was a polar shift, by the way. There has been one. But it's not necessarily a catastrophic event when that occurs.
Well, a true pole shift would be. Okay, well, it would be most of the time.
What would a 50-foot drift towards Russia signify? Would that be minor?
Well, when you have just the field drifting, okay, that's going to be minor. But then when you have the actual poles themselves of the Earth reposition, and the North Pole is no longer in Alaska, but it settles, you know, in Australia, okay, that's going to be major upheaval if it was something that extreme, because you have the magnetic field of the North Pole, which is above the Earth, around the Earth at the poles, but then you have the poles themselves. And so if they actually physically relocate, that's going to be a major upheaval. And with HAARP, Don, I can't give these guys that much credit yet, because of that, you know, just citing that one example. I mean, these guys were trying to sell global warming. You think they would keep the heat up constantly so they could definitely get that agenda to be sold to the public. Mm-hmm. I mean, if things kept getting hotter and hotter, nobody's going to argue, hey, Mike, it's getting hotter. I mean, look, I'm sweating. It's December. I'm sweating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why don't they do that? You see? So I can't give them that much credit for that.
Because you have a populace that, you know, the average person is not paying attention. They don't see the chemtrails in the sky. So they don't notice the temperature.
Sure. No. They're oblivious for the most part still to, you know, what's going on above them in the sky. That's for sure. And that always makes me think of the Lord saying, in the Essene Gospels a piece. It's not easy to gaze at the heavens when all men can only gaze at the ground. It's not easy to worship at the feet of angels when all men can only worship fame and riches. Most difficult of all is to think the thoughts of angels, to speak the words of angels, and to do as angels do. But so that opening one where it's not easy for all men to gaze at the heavens when they can only gaze at the ground. I mean, there you go. But so, you know, they're oblivious to that, but they're not going to be oblivious to the temperature being very mild, very warm, especially when it's out of season. And so that one, nobody's going to miss. Things will be greening. I remember, well, it's got to be at least a little over 10 years ago already. It's hard to believe, somewhere around there. But in December 25th, 27th time frame, in the local paper, there was a dogwood tree with a flower on it because it was that mild. And so you think if these guys were really creating those conditions, they would be consistent at it because they were trying to sell this global warming to serve their globalist agenda for the United Nations takeover, to further enslave the world by cutting them off from consuming the Rockefeller petroleum gasoline products for our energy source. Supposedly that's causing all the global warming, and therefore they would want to tax us to death on it with the cap and trade that they tried to pass, and keep raising the cost of gasoline and oil. And anybody consuming it would be allotted so much. And then if you go over it, they'll really tag you for the cost because you exceeded your allotted amount for that given week or month. This is what they were really, this is what it was all about. That's what they were up to. They were closing in on that deal, but they couldn't because it got so much colder that nobody, you know, it was a lot. They became a laughingstock. And thank God. I love it. I say that's God. Mm-hmm. Stopping them cold in their tracks, saying, okay, sell your global warming, and I'll make sure the people will see that it's not happening. And that way you look like the fools that you are, and you don't get too far on that agenda. I mean, to me, that's the reason why it worked out that way. The good Lord was getting a laugh out of it and putting them in their place, those little sinister scumbags they are. And so, you know, just based on that, Don, I just can't give these guys that kind of credit yet. You know, I can't.
Yeah,
for
that,
sure.
That whole thing is a precursor to cap and trade so that then they can then shift the attention to the issue of things that produce carbon dioxide. I mean, are they going to start charging people for breathing?
Well, there you go, Don. I mean, that's it, right on the money. You know, over the years, we would say, yeah, they're taxing us to death on everything if they can only figure out a way to tax us for breathing. And there it is in the cap and trade. That's right. Because along with that ridiculous, outrageous bill is their claim that carbon dioxide is a toxin. It's poisonous. And
what about,
again,
carbon monoxide?
Yeah, exactly. That's okay now, just like mercury, Don.
Yeah.
The government reports all that's fine, and arsenic and all that's okay. It's carbon dioxide that's dangerous because it makes the planet greener. And when it's greener, there's more fresh air and oxygen in the atmosphere. And my gosh, that's toxic too. And so, yeah, that's how pathetic these losers are running our government. I mean, they are either blithering idiots, and a lot of them are, or they are really trying to push some racket on us, thinking that we're all that stupid to believe all that nonsense.
Well, not that things haven't fallen apart already, but you mentioned a polar shift, and if it were to, let's say, the North Pole were to shift itself over to the area of Australia, did you say?
Right.
Let's intend for it to go to Washington.
Amen.
And have everything collapse there.
Oh boy, you know, or just a mini little asteroid, just big enough, you know. But we got to make sure they're all there. We got to make sure they're all partying there as they usually are. So one shot gets them all.
And then, you know, if that were to occur, I might start even believing that there is a hole over the North Pole. You know, only I may see it more as a sewer in Washington.
Absolutely. It would be. You know, the nice
cesspool.
The nice polar openings that exist now at the current poles, you're right, they are pristine. But if it would shift over to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., oh, my gosh, it would be just a toilet.
Yeah.
That's all it would be, just one big flush bowl.
Now, there is a report, I'm not sure if you heard about it, just came out yesterday, and I was looking at it. It seems to me we were threatened with the potential of martial law a couple of times going back to, I think, about 2006, mm-hmm. and again 2008. There was this vote that had to occur in Congress, and there was a threat that if it wasn't the legislation wasn't pushed through, that there may be martial law. And
that was pertaining to the banker bailout to give those guys trillions of the hard earned taxpayer money.
Yeah, that one was in 2008. There was another one in 2006.
Oh, but, was there?
Yeah.
Another, I don't recall such a threat, though, that if they didn't pass the bill, there could be martial law.
It wasn't something that hit the mainstream media, but it was talked about in the background.
Mm-hmm.
What people have been picking up, now this is according to Steve Quayle, and I have to say that Steve Quayle has put out some pretty truthful things. I don't agree with everything, some of the predictions and that, but then again, you know, he's entitled to make his own predictions, or he may feel that he was inspired to reveal something, you know, a revelation. So I've had those experiences. Why shouldn't he? There are numerous reports that foreign soldiers have been seen in many of our western states, say Utah, Colorado, Montana, Oklahoma, pretty much across the northern area of the country, and then coming down into the Midwest. Now, and going all the way to the Gulf region, by the way. There's chatter that was picked up on radios, and the voices that were heard were described as foreign, maybe Middle Eastern, with one particular voice had somewhat of an English accent to it, as if the person had studied English. Well, that could be a Pakistani or even an Indian talking. It depends. You know, you're not necessarily dealing with rocket scientists that are picking this stuff up. They're not the brightest bulb in the pack, so they can't maybe identify who it is. Maybe it's not even possible to tell, but certainly you can ferret out an accent and say, well, this person sounds Middle Eastern or this one sounds Asian, but I can't see confusing the two. The accents are nothing alike, so their ignorance sort of obfuscates the truth, but nevertheless, these reports are coming out that something's coming down. Now, my gut reaction is they may have talked about this, or there may be something afoot. One would think that if there were foreign soldiers in our country, that there was some sort of military attack underway, and that this is known to our government, so somebody has approved this. So this is New World Order stuff, okay?
Oh, definitely.
This is the banks. But they were using a code, and the code that was picked up was P, the letter P, I'm assuming the letter B, and the number 2, using Papa Bravo 2, and then EEE, or triple E, or triple eagle. And when they hear this command, something's being set up. So it's something to look at. Now, I don't...
Sure.
I'm presuming that you hadn't heard about this. But it's worth mentioning because this came about with the banking scandals, and I, you know very well, I had been reporting a lot about that, and people were saying, trillions, you're crazy. And they throw that word out there every minute now.
Yeah, it's staggering. It is.
You know, but you can remember back in 2006, I was telling people that there were, they were stealing trillions of dollars.
Oh, yes.
And
it's an old racket they've got going. Yeah. But with the foreign troops done, absolutely. I mean, this is really old news. And this is this brings me back to my point earlier with our troops being all abroad. Who's home watching the store? Mm-hmm. Hello? I mean, doesn't anybody play chess anymore? You just can't keep your guard down and expect that you're not going to be vulnerable to an attack. And it's all by design. We have clearly a domestic enemy in our government in Washington, D.C. They've Trojan horsed our country while simultaneously taking our muscle and sending it abroad. Now, they've even dampened the muscle of our military by this don't ask, don't tell nonsense crap. It's going to drive out all the respectable men and women out of the service. But women, I love you and I respect you and I admire you. And I see a place for you in the military serving in administrative ways, but on the field of battle or anything like that, you just don't belong there. It's not your role. And you're never going to keep up with guys, and most women know that, of course. And so it's just not the place for women. But the fact that, you know, they're all abroad and nobody's here, and there's clearly foreign troops. Now, Don, from the late 80s, I have a video by Tex Mars called Sting of the Iron Beast showing a lot of the foreign troops under UN commission. And around late 90s as well, I had a cousin joining the service, Air Force, and I told him, because Clinton, Slick Willie, was in the second term, and I told him, you're crazy to join, because he'll send you, he'll get you wrapped up in foreign war conflicts, and he's a communist to the boot. We need the good people to really stay out of the military, was my take at the time, and that way we know the good guys are home, ready to fight if the need arises and foreign troops come rolling through the streets. And so he didn't understand. So I told him, I said, well, keep your eyes open while you're in boot camp. You'll see foreign troops sooner or later. 6 months later, I see him. He's at a boot camp, and he tells me that he definitely seen the foreign troops while it's stationed in Texas. And I asked him, well, what did you learn about him? And he said that they were told not to engage in conversation with him. And so now you had Katrina when the old bushwhacker there goes down a couple weeks after the event, finally makes a guest appearance, and who's with him? Foreign troops, Mexican and Dutch, if I recall right. Right there, standing behind our president, on our soil, in uniform, and nobody's jumping up and down saying, what the? Yeah, it's treason right there. You'd throw a rope around that president's neck right on the spot, and you arrest those foreign armies and deal with them appropriately. And so then you have the Chinese. Slick Willie gives them control of the Panama Canal. And nobody's going crazy like they did when Carter gave it away. And then when Reagan came in office, we took it back because there was a lot of uproar because it's a military, critical military component for our Navy to get back and forth from one ocean to the other quickly. And so, I mean, we gave it away again under Slick Willie, Commie Clinton. Nobody's up in arms over that. And who's controlling it immediately after? The Red Chinese. But, oh, no, it's okay, Mike. They're not really commies anymore, Mike. It's all okay. And then he gives them access to the ports in L.A. And so they're coming up through Mexico. I've heard reports where they're building up with the Russians a lot of supplies. Big time, down in the tropics in southern Mexico on the border there. And so, Don, unfortunately, this talk with foreign troops is legitimate, and it's a major threat, and that's why they're going to keep trying to take our guns away, and because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves so they can literally roll over us. And they are looking for the precedent, even Heine, Heinz Kissinger stated quite a few years back that eventually in L.A., the American people will applaud the foreign troops patrolling in the streets. Right now, they wouldn't want it. I'm paraphrasing. It says right now they wouldn't accept it, but in the future, basically, because they're going to make events happen that the Americans will love to see them patrolling down their streets. And so, of course, you see foreign troops patrolling down your street. That means it's war. And every American has the duty to shoot them. And so it's going to be amazing that they're going to try to really get enough Americans so brainwashed into thinking that, oh, yeah, Mike, the foreign troops coming down the street, they're here to keep peace. It's good.
They're here to help us.
That's right. They're here to help us. They're here to help us die.
They're here to help push Planet X away when it comes by.
Yes, they're here just to help the UN make sure everybody's free. Ah, what a bunch of nice commies they are. And so, yeah, Don, this is serious talk. And a lot of years have elapsed now since this information has been surfacing. And so we're getting closer and closer to, I'm afraid, the big windup. I would say the pot is boiling on the stove and the lid is beginning to really rattle. I would say that the fat lady's warming up in the background, getting ready to sing. I would say that the aeration device is spinning rapidly, and it won't be long before you know what begins to strike it.
Now, are there frogs in that hot water?
Yes.
Poor frogs.
As Alan Steng would say, the excrement's going to hit the rotational aeration device.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is very serious talk. Very serious. And that's why I just want to see the military home, because this is where they belong. Shutting down the borders and patrolling and keeping our strength at home and being ready for some kind of attack internally from clearly a domestic enemy, which proves further that all the brass in the military, for the most part, are a bunch of traitors too, because this is blatantly obvious, and they're not doing the honorable, correct thing, the patriotic thing, upholding their oath, keep the Constitution, defend it, especially from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
They know the foreign troops are here. That's treason. Why would a foreign troop be in your country except to take you over? Isn't that why we're in all these other countries?
Yes.
Take them over?
We've been talking about the corruption. You don't steal from your own country unless your intention is to destroy your own country. But then again, is it your own country in this case? These are all infiltrators we're talking about here.
And traitors.
All of them. So it's no big deal for them to invite armies from the countries they came from.
Sure. We got this guy Obama, total foreigner, committed communist. I mean, we know that's for sure with his background. As vague as the rest of his background is, we know that is a fact. He was telling us Mao Zedong should be our example to follow. I mean, my God, people, what more proof do you need? Besides the other statement, we have to teach our children not to set their sights so high as we did, not to expect everything we had and our parents had. What kind of nonsense is that from a real American? No way. That's a foreigner talking, a dirtbag commie foreigner letting you know, I'm here and I'm going to put my foot on your head if you let me.
Mm-hmm. One wonders if he was in the audience when Miss South or during the Miss Teen South Carolina contest was going on. You remember that?
I do.
That speech?
Yes.
Because he said he's been to all 57 states.
Great, Don. That's right. There's a great one right there. I mean,
he must have learned something. He was probably there.
He caught, he's definitely clearly infected with that old Latin disease as well, that loser. A doofus among us. There's no question about it. But, you know, it's hilarious and so scary and pathetic at the same time. Even this foreigner here we have in New York called Chuck E. Cheesy Schumer, our senator. He made a statement not too long ago that the three branches of government are judicial, Congress, and Senate. It gives you a lot of confidence in those representatives.
I thought it was
the law.
Goldman Sachs, Monsanto, and BP.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Behind the scenes, that's really the three branches. That's right, Don. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And the Americans just so asleep in general, not your audience, of course, but in general, the New Yorkers in general. I mean, when I heard that, I want to call that dirt back up and let him know that he's a foreigner and he should be hung a long time ago. Besides being a crook, he's a foreigner.
Well, you know I'm not going to disagree with you there. You know, my research and my articles in that regard. Well, I mentioned the letters or the names. Now, I could be wrong on this, but did I accidentally trip on something? You remember the chatter heard was reference to Papa Bravo 2. Or PB2. Now, what is PB2? Well, so happens that there are some patents on some very nasty mutations of influenzas. And there's even a...
There's something going around right now that seems nasty.
Yes.
For the last few weeks.
Yes. So... The reason I brought this up, Michael, is because it could be that they're actually under the auspice of conducting some sort of joint military exercise. You know, that's what they're going to say if enough people bring attention to this.
Sure.
And I don't know that it's the case. You know, I'm a bit in doubt.
Yep, it's a speculation, and it's something we have to pause and consider because all of this is very possible.
Because these stories make the rounds as well, you know, on a schedule, if you will.
Sure.
And you know, you see that with the email coming around every 3 months, the same stories, even after they've been debunked, they come out again because they know they're. The people that didn't catch it the first go around or didn't have internet then or just didn't or weren't awake, you know, at least that much.
Right.
But if you Google PB2, you come into some very interesting patents.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be the start of some sort of biological program that they have.
Biological attack, yes.
Now, if you and one of the major symptoms of these strains referenced under the name PB2 is severe respiratory problems. So there's a rise in that occurring, and the patents that I was reading describe that these mutations and you know, this is, they're talking about it like it's something that has to be put out there. You know, maybe they're going to say, well, this is in the context of developing a vaccine or, you know, they like, there's the vaccine again, you see.
Oh, yeah, it's the pursuit of science, Don. They're just scientists trying to unravel the mysteries of disease.
Mm-hmm. but it's temperature sensitive. Now, whatever that means. Is it sensitive to cold weather, or do we have to have global warming for it to kick in?
Well, you'll always have under warm conditions, especially like tropical conditions, you'll always have the presence of all kinds of pathogens where in a colder climate they won't be as common.
Oh, so, I know. I
definitely know, but, temperature dependent.
But the way they are these days, I'm sure they've even given that consideration.
Trying to modify them, absolutely, yeah. To be adaptable under all extreme temperature ranges, sure,
mm-hmm.
sure.
So
yeah, they're relentless with devising all kinds of evil bugs, Don, anything else they can to disrupt God's creation, to attack mankind, attack all of his creation. They're very pathetic and disgusting. And here's something that just I remembered also regarding foreign troops. Now, in the late 90s as well, there was a plane crash over the skies of New Mexico. It was reported over the media that German jets collided over the skies of New Mexico. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it was sold as commercial planes. So the average American, they hear it and they say, oh, commercial planes crashed. Oh, well, what a shame over New Mexico. What a shame. But they weren't commercial planes. They were German jet fighters practicing over New Mexico. And so when enough people that knew that were pursuing that as to demanding an answer to that, the response from the government was, well, yeah, we invite him here occasionally to practice because it's cloudy so much over there in Germany. We have better skies over here. That's the BS line we got. Now, just remember now the swastika building at the U.S. Navy base off Coronado. Just do a Google swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Just Google that. See it come right up. And now we just realize what I just said about those German jets crashing over New Mexico. Okay, so this foreign troop thing is very serious threat. And so there's a lot to this story. And I think everybody should be hot on this topic from here on out, because we have to get all the sleeping Americans somehow getting the message that this is coming. And we have to make sure that we don't allow it. We don't permit our government to use them and to deploy them in any way, to let our government know if we see them, that's an enemy incursion into our country. And there's only one intention for an army when they're in another country. That's a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will have to respond appropriately if that ever comes. And we have to. I really think this is the most crucial kind of topic that from here on out, everybody's got to stay very keen on and demand that our troops are home. Demand that they come home immediately.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a number of years. The place, the way you protect this country is to have them here.
That's right, John.
How are we being protected with them in Afghanistan?
Exactly. And what are we doing over there to those poor people? And, you know, when I see get some mailings occasionally, because I've always in the past contributed to the military vets, and when I see, these poor guys coming back and, you know, they need prosthetics and, you know, there's all kinds of injuries that they've had to endure. And it just tears my heart out because it's for nothing. You're not defending our freedom over there. And they all know that. And of course, they're all in the service primarily because they need a job, because they're desperate financially. And so I sympathize with them for that. But they know that they're really not defending our freedoms over there. It's clear as all could be. And look at the Tillman incident when they killed him, because he wasn't going to reenlist. He was going to come back home and spill the dirt. And he could have done it because he had a name. And people would have listened to him. And if he came back and said, listen, it's all BS, I'm telling you now, they're abusing us, they're taking advantage of us, they're selling us out, we have no business being there, and the real enemy's home in Washington, D.C., that was apparently going to be his message when he came back home, so they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is the real hot topic, Don, out of everything to discuss. Demanding our troops come home and cleaning up our backyard and getting our military really prepared. Investing in it properly, not wasting trillions of dollars going into the pockets of a bunch of lard asses pushing pencils at desks in the administrative fat cat layers of the military. No, cut that all right out. And let's get some real support to the troop, the GIs themselves, to their families, making sure they have all their needs met, that they're home with their families until the need really arises where we have to bring them away from home somewhere. And aside from that, being home, investing in the military, making sure they got all the gear all the equipment, all the best nutritional support. So they're tip-top healthy. And then let's clean house. Let's get rid of these foreign troops. Let's expose our government for allowing foreign troops to establish themselves in many bases. That was another reason why Pappy Bush, the old Krautdein, was closing down military bases during his tenure as president, so that these foreign troops had a home, and it would be discreet because the bases were closed, so there wouldn't be that much public exposure as they were bringing them in.
Yeah, it makes one wonder. You know, I don't fret over concentration camps, but, you know, they've denied that these places exist, and tons of people have come forward saying that they've even gone to these bases, former bases that have been converted into concentration camps, internment camps, whatever you want to call them, and some are manned with small contingents of soldiers, nothing major. But then again, you know, has everyone seen all of them? You know, when they create these roads off limits and you can't get to certain areas, you know, this is supposed to be our country.
That's right.
You know, supposed, you know, to be our country.
That's right, Don. Exactly. That's exactly right. And the Americans have to realize they got to fight for that. As was it Thomas Jefferson? You know, freedom is not free. And Americans are going to have to come to terms with that. They, for some reason, thought that, Mike, United States is going to endure forever just the way it is. Always free for some reason with representation, that those that you elect go to serve you in office and look out for the best interest of ourselves and our country. And Santa Claus comes every Christmas too, Mike. So that's it, Don. You know, freedom is not free. And we have to really get our wits about us very quickly here as a people if we're going to really turn things around. They got us deep in a hole. And, Obama, I'm positive, Don, they brought this clearly foreigner on board because he's the guy that's going to throw the dirt on us. The hole's been dug. Old man Bush. And prior to that, they were digging. But when old man Bush came in, the hole really started to get dug. And then the Clintons for two administrations. My God, did that hole get deep. And then when young Bushwhacker came on board, boy, oh boy, for two terms, did he dig it deeper. And so now Obama comes in, and I believe his job is to just toss the dirt on us. And that's what he's been doing. All the initiatives that he has pursued as soon as he became president, initiatives that no previous administration was able to pull off, because the American people say, what are you kidding? That's blatantly communist. And, you know, we're not into that. And so, but he just went right along, boy, rapidly firing one after another at us through the Congress and Senate, just passing one communist bill after another to rip us off further and enslave us further. And so that, and apparently Obama's nickname is the Undertaker, according to R.J. Hendon from Republic Broadcasting back last in the fall time frame. I heard him mentioned a couple times. And in fact, I called in once because he was saying, I wonder why his nickname is Undertaker. And I said, R.J., that's because his job is to throw the dirt on us. They dug the hole. We're in it. Now somebody's got to toss the dirt on us and bury us, and that's his job. And so we are in a very serious predicament here.
No doubt about it. I did a show last night, and I played a clip from the BBC about the validity of the organization called Al-Qaeda. This is very, very revealing. Because there were a number of people that came forth saying it simply doesn't exist. They just created this as a ruse to create fear. And, of course, there was discussion about Osama bin Laden as well.
Mm-hmm.
The boogeyman that they used.
That's right. That's right. He was the current boogeyman. Prior to him was, you had Noriega, you had Saddam Hussein, you had Noriega, then you had Gaddafi, and then before them you had, it was the Ho Chi Minh, and before that you had the boogeyman of Korea, Northern Korea, even though it looks like there was something way more to that. Looks like that the Japanese were developing an A-bomb facility on the peninsula of North Korea there. And, or maybe it's South Korea now. And that's why we're still there. And that's why one of the reasons why apparently maybe they had to make MacArthur go away quick, because he knew all about this, but they didn't want to admit that the technology was already that advanced and other countries already had it. And, so there's something to all that. But yes, the boogeyman is part of their strategy to keep us in perpetual fear, to justify why we have to ramp up trillions into the military-industrial complex, ripping off the taxpayer further, where I'm all for a strong military, but it sure won't take trillions and trillions to make it happen.
Don't you think nuclear war is going to contribute to global warming?
It sure will.
I never hear anybody really mention that, you know.
Especially when you're in close proximity to the event. It'll definitely heat up fast.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right, Don. It's all insanity, my friend. Pure insanity. Coming out of a bunch of sick, demented minds that are controlling the earth. They happen to have the Zionist bent of superiority over all mankind. But at the same time, they displayed also a very deviant behavior towards creation and nature, where they want to just undermine it all, to see the natural order of things become totally disorderly or chaotic. Mm-hmm. And that they get pure glee. They actually get off on doing it, which shows how demented they really are. And that's why I'm adamantly stating always that we got to get these guys fast. Got to rip their roots out of the ground and toss it in the fire. Let the heat of the hot noon summer day sun just scorch them and wither them right up so they exist no more. I mean, it's the role, duty of man, all good men, to seek these evil scum out and eradicate them, because their intention is on eradicating us and everything good that God has created. This isn't personal. This is to defend God and his creation and all of our fellow brothers and sisters of the human race, as well as of the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, as God's bestowed lords in this garden. It's our duty. It's not personal. If the Rockefellers just want to call me names or, you know, attack me personally, that's a personal thing. Fine. I don't care. But to see them want to destroy everything that's good that God created, oh, no, that's a whole nother matter. That's warfare. That's an enemy trying to destroy you and everything you care about. That's warfare. That's different. God expects us to do the right thing and to annihilate it, terminate it, before it can establish itself and destroy everything.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree.
Right, Don? I mean, you know, when you see pedophiles like this NAMBLA stuff, are we supposed to tolerate that? Abusing kids in such horrific, despicable ways? Destroying their lives with all that trauma that they're causing upon them with such sexual incredible deviancy? No way are we supposed to tolerate that. We should be ripping those guys out of the ground a long time ago and terminating their existence. Because it's the godly thing to do.
Yeah, this presumption that we have to be tolerant, and they like to use this term that we have to be politically correct. Name one thing that's correct in politics. Name one thing that's honorable. Or let's just use today one thing that's honorable that's going on as a result of politics. Can you think of one thing, Michael?
It's sad to say, Don, you really can't. In our modern times,
so where does
rare.
political correctness begin and where does it end? It's just another illusion, you see.
It's conditioning. It's social engineering, conditioning, brainwashing, and trying to restrict you from free speech.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But they're allowed to say anything they want because they say, well, we have free speech in this country. But when we say you're a bunch of commies, you're a bunch of deviant sexual bastards, and you should be hung, and you're traitors, and you're racketeers, oh, I'm unpatriotic, I'm anti-government, and I'm also full of hatred. And therefore, we need the hate crimes law, and I may be a potential terrorist, so they better get FEMA or Butch Janet Napolitano's Homeland Insecurity Zeke Heil after me quick. You see? So sure, they use that double standard all the time, and they're clearly trying to make us be restricted with our right for free speech, and that's why we have to defend that all the time. And I'll say it like that every time in their face, because I think that's the most appropriate way to express it.
Yes, yes. Well, the people that are behind this are not who they claim to be, and I mean they're behind everything. They're the ones profiting from the wars, from the death and the destruction, and then the rebuilding of it for what purpose? To tear it down again, just to keep the cycle going. It's quite
sick.
Evident that it doesn't work.
It's sick. Well, you know, Don, just from this perspective alone, as a scientist, as somebody that has some expertise in the field of healing and restoring the natural order in a body. Now, the country is a body. And just like any body, when there's no corruption, it's healthy. It's vital. But when corruption starts to come in, you'll start to see symptoms of that corruption manifesting. Some kind of ailments and stuff will start to occur. Shortness of breath, dizziness, something, little pain, discomfort in the stomach, whatever the symptoms may be. And then if the corruption gets really worse, you got severe pain. You've got agony. You got misery and suffering. And then if the corruption becomes extensive, you have death. And this is what we have in our country as well as around the world. And so from this perspective alone, if you don't get that corruption out of the body, then there's going to be suffering and misery. And if you allow to endure, there's going to be death as the result of that, all that corruption becoming predominant throughout everything in the body, occupying all the members of the body, corrupting every part. It's going to die. The body will die. And just from that perspective alone, the rationale justifies the fact that we have to do something. You have to stop this corruption, whatever's causing that corruption. You don't treat the symptoms. The government's always the traitors, of course. They're treating the symptoms like the phony doctors. Well, we'll just mask the symptoms, pretend it's not there anymore. And yet, you have to actually go after the cause of the symptoms if you really want to get rid of the problem so you can get your vitality totally restored. And that's why we have to terminate these scum.
Well,
because they're so corrupt.
It comes out of what is called the law of cause and effect. It's not the law of cause and symptoms.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly, Tom. You know, you just look, you're gardening and your garden's beautiful, but you have these weeds encroaching and they're going to start choking off everything. And so what do? You keep just cutting the branches of the plant and that's it. Of course not. The roots are still in the ground. They're going to keep sending out more and more shoots. You just going out there cutting all the shoots off all the time. That's not going to do it. And as soon as you turn your back, those shoots will be all over the place again, choking everything as much as it can, establishing itself further and further. So there's more roots everywhere, making it more difficult to clean it all up. You got to go in and rip it out by the roots. And you leave it hanging in that hot summer sun, drying it right out. It has no chance of coming back. That's how you take care of these matters. That's the godly way to approach it.
Yes, I agree. Well, Michael, we're out of time. It was interesting to talk about. You see, you can't get away from the topic no matter what you try to focus on. Balance, the balance of nature versus the balance of the mind. and the body and the soul.
Sure.
You know, one element is missing from those that orchestrate all of this, and they expect us to act the same way. We have to wake up to that fact that ignoring our true selves, ignoring who we really are, is not helping us whatsoever. And that's what all the programs are about. They're
that's
designed
right.
to cause us to forget it.
And keep us distracted from observing and becoming aware of who we are. That's right, Don. Ultimately, at the spiritual level, it's a spiritual warfare, keeping mankind off balance, ignorant of his existence, why he's there, living and breathing, taking up space in the three-dimensional world we call planet Earth in the United States or any other country. And the significant role we play as individuals of the creation. I mean, obviously, we're all individuals. Isn't that an amazing thing all by itself? I mean, wow, just thinking about that. We all have our own individuality, meaning that we are all special in the eyes of our Creator. And so becoming aware of that and then pursuing that, that's what makes us powerful beings, you know. And this is how when we become powerful in this respect, Don, that the evil forces cannot manipulate or control us. And they know that. And that's why they've created things the way they are in this system with all the technology to keep everybody off balance, like you said, unaware of who they really are. And if people only realized with some work in self, you know, self-discipline and work on themselves, there's no outer struggles, no outer battles to conquer. It's all internal warfare, defeating the lower self, allowing the higher self, the immortal nature, to crystallize within your personality, in your being. You'll be truly become a born-again person when you allow that process to mature. And you'll be amazed the kind of personal power comes your way. It's incredible, real power. What kind of power, Mike? Well, you know, Don, I had the pleasure of meeting this guy, a descendant of St. Augustine, a number of years ago. He was managing a Leslie's pool store. And one of my brothers, we're all pool guys, so one of my brothers one day says, Mike, I was in Leslie's, and you've been in there lately and meet Mark? I said, no. And he goes, well, he's a descendant of St. Augustine, and he's just like you, Mike. You guys, I told him all about you. You guys are going to have such a great conversation. So eventually I'm finally in the store, and I go, hey, are you Mark? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm Michael. And so we started talking, and we got into some heavy conversation, real deep. It was great. Sharp guy. So we were in a deep, thick of intense philosophical conversation. And at one point, we're debating, arguing a little bit, because his take on a certain position with a result, the way God's going to end it all up, is going to be, well, Mike, in the very end, God forgives everybody because he's that good. And even the devil and everybody will be forgiven. And I said, no, that's impossible, because if that's true, then the reason for all the suffering that people had to endure through centuries, through millennia, because of evil activity, succumbing to it, and, or being trapped by it somehow, caught up in it somehow. All the misery and suffering that they generated, these evil forces, as they rebelled against God, that would all be for nothing. It wouldn't make any sense then. And all the people that took advantage of it with their racketeering and ripped off people, and they never were held accountable for all the misery and suffering as they stole the wealth of other people that earned it. And it would all be for nothing. It doesn't make sense. So we're in the thick of that final phase of conversation, and I'm leaning up against the pool the counter where the register is, and on display right in front of me is a little speedboat for swimming pools, remote control, radio wireless remote control, just sitting there on top of the box on display. So while we're in the intensity of this, and all of a sudden, as I'm being adamant that no, Mark, on this one, I know I'm right, and all of a sudden, that boat powered on. It powered on.
Tesla was probably listening to you.
and so I didn't say anything. You know, I wanted to see, of course, Mark would catch it. And of course he did. And prior in the conversation, we were talking about personal power. And when you're on this path of knowledge, which is really wisdom, and you work on yourself and you discipline yourself spiritually and you get on this born-again process the Lord referred to by seeking the kingdom of heaven. We got into all of that. We talked for a long time. And so when it came on, that boat powered on, and Mark goes, "You see, Mike, look at that." And it says, "I know, you see that?" And he goes, "Mike, you're wasting it." Because Mark's take was, when you got personal power and you get a lot of it, you don't want to waste it. And I said, "No, Mark, it's like a cup. When your cup is filled up, then what's going to happen when it keeps flowing in? It's going to overflow, overspill. And the overspill is good. That means the cup is full. It has all it can hold. The rest is meant to be spilled over, so whatever is around the cup can benefit from it. I call that overspill." And so when he says, "Mike, you're wasting it. You know, you're wasting your personal power like that." And he says, "No, Mark, that's just overspill." And we got a big laugh out of that. But there's an example, and that's fairly routine for me. As well as the real beautiful part where animals, you get along peacefully with everything in nature. Walk through the woods, Don, for 10 years plus, running dogs 4 or 5 days a week all year round for at least 10 years plus. And when ticks in the late summer, fall come out and everybody's covered with them, the animals, my dogs, I never have a tick on me. Never. And I'm just wearing cut-off jeans, shorts, sneakers, and a shirt. And I'm not wearing any protection at all from the ticks. I never have a tick on me, never.
Does that mean you're ticked off?
I think it would in that case, Don. Very good.
Well, and, Michael, we got to say goodnight here, but okay, I appreciate your comments and want to let the listening audience know that you'll be back with us next Thursday, the 17th. So we can certainly continue this conversation and more at that time.
Great, Don. I'll look forward to it. And it's fun as always, Don. Thanks for having me back on.
Okay. For you listeners out there, if anyone is having any of the ailments that we were talking about, respiratory problems or infections or anything like that, check out Michael's private stock. Go to my website, directlightproductions.com. Click on sponsors and then click on Michael Anthony, and you can read about his stuff. His contact information is there. He will consult with you and get you on the right path to fixing things. Michael, I want to thank you for being on the show. And aside from saying goodnight, I want to also let you know I'm looking forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Well, thanks again, Don. Appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it as well. Have a great night, and God bless everyone.
All right. Thank you. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Over at BBS Radio on the sound tonight, we had Seth Hendrick. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night when my special guest will be Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Don't want to miss that show. Always exciting, always very educational and inspirational. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.